Welcome to this Journey Through the Bible podcast. Today's subject is, what exactly is God's design for woman? Today's teaching is on the subject of biblical womanhood, and hopefully it will provide some sort of a blueprint in this regard, because it is a controversial subject. Here is a basic outline as to what is expected of us who are the female gender in the church, otherwise known as God's household. I've divided this particular teaching into two parts due to the enormity of the subject and only taken specific scriptures which highlight certain characteristics of woman in general from both the New and the Old Testaments. So starting off with part one today, let's just say a word of prayer. Father, help me to share your word in such a way that it will bring both fresh revelation and fruitfulness for your kingdom purposes here on this earth. Thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty name. Starting off with the book of Titus, chapters 2, verses 3 to 5, which paints a picture as to how older women are to set a good example to the younger ladies in the church. Now I'm going to be reading, first of all, from Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, from the Amplified Version. Older women, similarly, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor addicted to much wine, teaching what is right and good, so that they may encourage the younger woman to tenderly love their husbands and their children, to be sensible, pure, makers of a home where God is honored, good-natured, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, just prior to this, just to provide a little bit of background, in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, Paul, the apostle, was writing a letter to Titus, who was a leader assigned to the church in Crete to set a precedent. And Paul was encouraging Titus to teach sound doctrine, which produced men and women of good character and whose lifestyle identified them as true Christians. Now, going back to verse 3 to 5, where the older women are expected to teach the younger woman, the King James Version of the Bible here uses the phrase, as becometh holiness, rather than the phrase reverent in behavior, as the Amplified Version puts it. And this basically means consecrated to God, sacred or holy. Now, with regard to the subject of gossip, I have dealt with this in detail in a previous Journey Through the Bible podcast, so I'm not going to waste any time on that today, except that it is important, obviously, for us older ladies not to be gossips, nor to be busybodies or meddlers in other people's affairs. Nor are we to be addicted to much wine. Well, on that subject, I don't drink wine at all. Not that there's anything wrong with drinking wine, but obviously it has to be done with wisdom. The older generation are to be examples to the younger generation, to be teachers of what is right and good. But for what purpose exactly? Well, in order to encourage the younger woman to be, as the King James Version puts it, sober, in other words, sound in mind, temperate and discreet or self-controlled. But this is not always easy, is it, when faced with the pressures of life's circumstances? In fact, all these things can only be achieved through the power of the Holy Spirit operating in each one of our lives. Younger women need to be taught, as the word says, to be loving towards their husbands and their children. The two Greek words used here for love are distinctly different. To love one's husband is the word philandros, which means to be affectionate, as a wife, fond of her husband. And the word philotechnos means to be fond of one's children in a maternal way. Just a little word of caution here concerning grown-up married children. Christ, Yeshua, Jesus Christ himself, taught that it's important that married couples have boundaries. Matthew 19, verses 5 and 6 says, "A man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In other words, children grow up and the parental relationship then changes. Therefore, as far as us mothers are concerned, to be an interfering or controlling mother or mother-in-law is a sure recipe for disaster and should be avoided at all costs. Wisdom from above is a necessary component when relating to one's grown-up adult children and should involve the leading of the Holy Spirit, showing care and concern where necessary, but respecting the fact that they are a new family unit. Younger children, of course, are a different kettle of fish and need to be treated differently with the correct parental supervision. And also, just on that note, older children who are adults also need to be treated correctly and in a different manner with regard to their parents, particularly mothers. I don't think it's necessary to say much more in this regard, since it is basic common sense. Now, going back to the book of Titus, older women are also required to encourage the younger woman to be discreet. The King James Version here uses the word chaste, in other words, modest, pure, and innocent. Why? So that the word of God is not blasphemed, dishonored, or slandered. Now, all of these things are important because the devil is always looking for ways to discredit the Lord God Almighty and his church. And the less inroads he gets into the kingdom of heaven, the better. Relationships between women in the church are described well in the New Living Translation of the Bible. And I'd like us now to turn to 1 Timothy 5 verse 3, and it reads here, "Treat older women as you would a mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters." In other words, there should be a respectful attitude amongst women of God within the body of Christ, treating each other with honor in the same way as one would treat blood relatives. Let me give an example here from my own life in order to explain this a little bit better. When I was a teenager, I belonged to a small family church in my hometown in Matari, Zimbabwe. My pastor's wife was my mentor or spiritual mother, whom I called Auntie Margaret. However, she never replaced my own mother, who was a godly woman, and I still had my own physical family to which I belonged, obviously. However, Auntie Margaret taught me a lot spiritually in my formative years as a Christian, and for that I will always be eternally grateful. All relationships, for that matter, within the body of Christ should be treated with respect. Holiness is important. Of course it's important. And to have boundaries, it's very important. There are, of course, some situations where people do not have any family members, and then the body of Christ should step in and fill the gap. But that's another subject for another day. Let's now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. And I'm going to read from the King James Version here, where Paul the Apostle again gives instructions, this time to Timothy, who was a young leader in the church at Ephesus, to make sure that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Now, this sounds a bit of a mouthful in old King James English, but I've read it from this King James Version because it's interesting to note that this word shamefacedness in the Greek is actually the word eidos, which means shyness or bashfulness towards men, modesty towards God, having a reverential fear or awe of God. Now, Paul was obviously concerned that the women were negatively influenced by the Gentile pagan society, which was infiltrating the church with all sorts of ungodly belief systems, pretty much like today's woke society. And therefore, he was giving instructions for women in the church to not be overly preoccupied with clothing, but to rather be doers of the word and be clothed with good deeds, to have less of self and more of God in their lives. Now, does that mean that we as women in the modern day church have to go around dressed in drab clothing with no makeup and looking dowdy? No, of course not. The word here for modest with regard to modest apparel is the Greek word kosmios, which actually means orderly or of good behavior, and comes from the root word kosmos, which means orderly arrangement or decoration. In a similar way, now there's not a direct Hebrew equivalent to this word kosmos, but there is a connection apparently. When I did a bit of research, I saw that there was a connection with the way that God decorated and arranged the stars, for example, which describe the solar system. When God decorated the world, he did it all in an orderly arrangement. And so, likewise, in a similar fashion, women are supposed to dress in an orderly manner and to decorate. We are supposed to decorate ourselves, but it's all supposed to be done in a feminine manner by obviously wearing pretty clothing and using makeup if necessary. For what reason? In order to give God glory as Christ's representatives. Untidy, disheveled Christianity will not exactly win the lost to the Lord. And it's also important, wives should always make an effort to be well turned out in order to please our husbands. I try my best to be well groomed, and my husband appreciates it. However, I make the most of myself primarily because I am a representative of God's kingdom, a child of the living God. And that is the number one priority that each one of us should have. As women, whether we married women or not, our number one priority is to dress as representatives of the living God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22, I want to just now go to the book of Proverbs, says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Now this is a proverb which describes a woman who has no moral values. And because she lacks this important characteristic, she gets involved with the wrong belief systems and the wrong relationships, participating in the wrong things. Sadly, many a Christian woman has ended up doing just that and messed up her life in the process. Nothing, of course, that the Lord can't rectify, because all things are possible with him, and he can turn any mess around and turn it into a message. But rather, not go there in the first place. Rather, be a woman of discretion and avoid the pitfalls of the devil. I'm also going to be taking a look in this teaching at the book of Proverbs and looking at the Proverbs 31 woman, highlighting certain characteristics about this woman, which hopefully will prove beneficial to those who are listening to this podcast. Now, most likely, most of you have read this portion of scripture and wondered how just one woman could possibly achieve all these things. I know that often when I've read this scripture, I thought, my goodness, this woman sounds like a superwoman. Now, of course, please, there are many ladies who have accomplished and achieved all sorts of incredible things, not just in the kingdom of heaven, but also from a worldly perspective. However, taking a close look at this woman, if one had to be really honest, there could be no such one woman who could achieve all of these things. really looking very sincerely and honestly at this particular chapter. This chapter actually is a symbol of the bride of Christ. It paints a prophetic picture of the bride of Christ, and I'm not going into that today at all, but it's good to know that it is a prophetic picture, which would include men, women, children. It comprises every born-again believer. And I'm not going to go there today. I just wanted to mention that because it is an important aspect. But it's also good to look at this particular woman and see these principles can apply to any woman, not just a woman who's the wife of an elder. It can apply to a married woman. It can apply to a divorced woman. It can apply to a widow. It can apply to a young woman, an older woman. It can apply to any woman, both young and old, in the kingdom of heaven. And the next podcast, I'm going to actually be delving into some of these principles or characteristics just to provide a picture of womanhood in such a way that from the depth of the word, highlighting certain characteristics which can apply to every single one of us in the body of Christ. So until next journey through the Bible, may each one of you be blessed, and thank you, Lord, that your word will produce much fruit for the sake of your wonderful kingdom. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen.